This is the Ignition Point, Clayton Bradley Academy's podcast, where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use of our lifelong guidelines and life skills. Today's episode is going to be a little different than some that we have done in the past, where we're typically interviewing somebody. And today's, though, is just going to be a discussion about one of the parts of the model of instruction that we use here at Clayton Bradley Academy. Specifically, we're going to be talking about inquiries. So when we're talking about inquiries, we're talking about how information is getting put into the learning process. It's part of the input phase. And so we have done this discussion a couple weeks ago about field studies, for instance, and how field studies help us to ignite all 20 of those senses that we have in our body. We discussed some of those senses, some of those things like taste and smell that you kind of know of, but maybe things that you're not thinking about, like pain receptors, magnetic receptors in the body, ionic receptors where you're working with airborne ionic charges and that sort of thing, electrical senses and stuff too. And so those are areas that we are constantly looking at because it helps the input side of the brain. Whenever we're talking about learning, which is a huge part of our model, which learning for us is defined as putting something into long-term memory, being able to retrieve that information, and then being able to apply it to something new. Well, the first part of that is identifying patterns. We want to identify the right patterns for that particular content that we're learning. Now, your brain identifies patterns all the time. How many times have you been driving down the road or sitting out on your back porch at your house and you look up in the sky, you see clouds, and what happens? You immediately, your brain starts to identify patterns and you start seeing shapes in those clouds, right? So maybe you've seen, oh, that looks like a dragon's head, or that looks like a snake, or that looks like, you know, whatever, a face. And so you start to put meaning to those clouds. Now, at the end of the day, those are just clouds. They actually don't have that purpose of being an animal or being a person or anything like that. Your brain has just applied a pattern that it recognizes, a face, for instance. The human brain is very good at identifying facial structures because we are very visual in nature. And so when you see things out in nature that have that face kind of resemblance, maybe you've done this with a rock formation, you're like, oh, there's a face. I can see the two eyes in that area of the rock, and then it looks like it has a nose. And now there's not really a face there, but your brain is picking up on enough patterns that it starts to connect the dots and help you see a face there, when in reality, it's just rocks on the side of a mountain. And so your brain is really good at identifying patterns. And at the beginning of learning, one of the jobs that we want to do is help kids see the right pattern. Because if we help them get the right pattern, then we're able to help put that pattern into long-term memory in a way that it can be retrieved. And so one of the ways that our teachers go about working on helping identify the right pattern is through what we call inquiries. Now, inquiries have a ton of definitions when you're out there in education. That can be everything from a simple exploration to a hands-on activity. Worksheets can be involved in inquiries. It could be at a particular place that you go visit. There could be some inquiry-type stations maybe that kids go to and explore. So these are areas that we're trying to identify patterns in nature and start the process of setting what we call programs. So the other side of the learning process is pattern seeking to program building. So that program building terminology just simply means that we've identified a pattern, and now we can apply that pattern in a way to get a correct answer or a correct thought process or whatever may be the case. That is a program now that can be used. And once you have that program there, you can now apply that. That's what your brain is doing. It's applying the program that it's built to identify facial recognition. And it starts applying that program then to other things like the surface of a side of a mountain, a cloud formation, because it's allowing the brain to say there's enough of the pattern here to start the program that says, no, there's a face there. I can see it. There's the eyes. There's the nose. There's the chin, whatever may be the case. And so whenever we're working on inquiries, we're designing activities that set the pattern and then help develop into using the program. So when we're doing inquiries, sometimes those inquiries are initial type of learning. So in an initial type of learning situation, maybe it's new content, we're starting to help them see there's a pattern here of how to do this problem or how to recognize this structure. You know, look for, I was a biology teacher, so if we're talking about the mitochondria, we're talking about that internal membrane that mitochondria have, that second layer. And so whenever we're looking at mitochondria, we look for that pattern, you know, the shape of the mitochondria inside the cell, the fact that it has that internal membrane that looks a particular way. We start to help them see the pattern so that later on when they see that pattern, they recognize it and connect it back to that original inquiry. Another way that we use inquiries, though, is to further the instruction. So sometimes this could be a practice type activity where we're now taking the process, the pattern that we've learned, and we're applying it now to maybe a little different scenario, but we're continuing to build the pattern to make sure we know it. So for instance, back to a biology example, I was a biology teacher. So when I'm teaching mitosis, we would do all kinds of inquiries with students. So little activities that's building the foundation that they're going to need for later projects. And so we would talk about how the cell divides. We would maybe draw it in our notes. We would look at it under microscopes. And then as it goes on, we're continuing to build that pattern. So we might be using manipulatives on our desks, and we're building out with yarn and popsicle sticks or whatever you might be using to help kids actually physically move structures to solidify that pattern and turn it into a program in their brain. We would even do a hand motion activity. We always jokingly called it happy hands mitosis, but it's one of those of we had certain hand patterns for each stage of mitosis. So we're showing how the process works and we're setting that pattern up in a couple different ways, because remember, we're always looking for how can we identify as many senses as possible for the activity that we're doing. So I don't want to just allow them to see it and hear us talk about it. I'm looking for how can we maybe see it in the real world. That helps in that pattern seeking behavior. But we're also looking at movement. I want to get people moving. I want to interact with a partner so that we're starting to hit as many of those senses as possible of why this is important. Now, another side of that pattern seeking behavior is what we talked about the last time we had this kind of discussion on the podcast, was how are we making meaning? So making meaning is seeing it in the real world. That's a huge part of that. Why do I need to know this? Why is this important? And so when we're dealing with mitosis, that's also where we might start talking about what happens when this process doesn't work effectively. Well, you start getting differences in your cells. That could lead to stuff like cancer and tumors. And so kids start bringing in this meaning of like, oh, this is important. If we don't get this right, it could end up with a cancer situation, a tumor situation, some kind of growth that takes place. And so now they've got a little bit more personal connection. And we would even do projects, little inquiries and projects that continue to express the importance of this pattern has to be correct. If this pattern's not correct, then that can create a lot of problems out in the real world. And then once again, we're practicing this right process. So we're doing refresher activities. It could be that you're doing intro activities about yesterday's pattern that we were working on. We're going to continue to do it today. So how many of you can remember the steps to mitosis today that we talked about yesterday? And so we're continuing to practice. And as this is happening, we have looked in the brain at what is actually happening to the learning. So the frontal lobe, we always talk about the frontal lobes where learning takes place. That's where the thinking part of the brain is. And so as that frontal lobe is developing, as kids get older, they're able to think a little bit more abstractly. They're able to go deeper into their understanding. And so that frontal lobe part is where your brain is wanting to make memory or make meaning. It's where your brain is looking for those things that it goes, I want to know more about that. I want to explore that more. You've caught my attention, right? That happens in the frontal lobe. And then you start identifying those patterns. And so you're shifting the brain from one side of the frontal lobe to the other side of the frontal lobe. It starts to shift into the temporal part of the brain. And as you practice and experience more and more and more through inquiry, it starts to go into the back part of the brain. It's called the occipital lobe. And so that the neurons that are firing have went from frontal lobe to temporal lobe to occipital lobe. And finally, if you can get it into long-term memory, then you end up in the application phase of learning, where now I've got this, I've identified the pattern, I've built the program, I'm able to now apply that program to something new out there in the world. And so you start to push that neuron firing down into the cerebellum. And so that's the part of the brain where you really get down into the older structures of the brain, in the brainstem area and that sort of thing. And so when you start getting down into that part of the brain, that's where you're starting to do things without necessarily sometimes conscious thought. And so you want to get that long-term memory down in that part of the brain so that when you see something now in nature, or you see something in the real world, or you see something on TV, or you hear something at your house, what happens? Those structures, you've got this pattern down in there, this program, and it starts to apply that program now in new ways. That's what we want. We want to be able to put something into our brain so that we can pull that program out and apply it correctly to something new. Now, sometimes that process is we apply that program to something and then we find out that wasn't real. And so your brain then starts to store that information into the program of you've applied it that way, it wasn't real, and so, or it didn't work. And so now you know not to pull that program out if that thing happens in the future. And so that all helps us in the process of deepening our understanding. We want to make sure that we engage as many senses as possible. We want to provide interaction with the real world. We want to try to cover multiple ways for the brain to see how this can be applied. We want to use as many different application pieces as it takes to get that pattern put into a program and stored in such a way in the brain that it can be brought back up later on down the road. And so that whole process is just an individual part of what we call curriculum here at Clayton Bradley Academy. So we like to start with field studies. That helps provide meaning. Then we look at inquiries of how can we explore different patterns, explore different ways to use this, deepen our understanding as we continue to modify that pattern and turn it into a program so that then we can hopefully store that program in a way that it can be brought back up later on. Now, sometimes those inquiries also then lead to project and problem-based learning. So we typically look at inquiry-based learning as kind of the foundational type thing. So some of our classrooms, you might see more inquiry-based learning happening. As we're setting those foundations, we're building the proper programs, we're building the proper patterns. And then as you progress, you're able to combine those inquiries into a project or a problem that typically is a bigger type of assignment. So we want to start maybe, for instance, with mitosis, where we're working on getting that process right, identifying why we have to have that process right, and then that could later on down the road, we add meiosis to it, and then we could end up leading that into maybe some kind of genetics project or some kind of bigger cell project where we're saying this is why this has to be correct. And when it's not correct, here are things that can happen to the organism, be that human or animal or plant or whatever. So we want to now be able to apply this individual process that we learned to all of these different kind of scenarios. It doesn't matter if it's living and it has a nucleus and it has chromosomes, it probably then goes through the same process during division. And I can now start applying this program of mitosis to all these different things that I'm interacting with in the science classroom. And that's where we get into more of the project-based learning component that we do at the school. Now, these are all just, like I said, parts of curriculum that we put together that all go into helping the learning. So some other parts then that we would apply to this would be immersion areas in the classroom where kids could go deeper in their explorations. Novel or text studies where they are reading maybe other professional work, articles, whatever, of how this sometimes is in the real world. Sometimes it's just a fictitious character that we're applying what we're learning to that character. Sometimes we're looking at historical text and finding out why the historical text and how that applies to the ideas that we're learning. And then we're all moving towards this idea of assessment, where we're looking here, how are we going to assess whether they really have this in long-term memory, whether they can really apply this learning at a higher level than what they were doing before. So those are parts that we will probably take some podcasts to also break down how that's done at CBA. But that's an important part. Inquiries is what we're looking at today, how that's an important part of everything that we do in our classroom setting. This has been the Ignition Point, Clayton Bradley Academy's podcast, where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use of our lifelong guidelines and life skills. If you'd like to find out more about CBA, you can find us on our webpage, www.claytonbradleyacademy.org, or you can find us on social media at CBA STEM or at Clayton Bradley Academy. We hope you have a wonderful day.